Let this abomination unto the Lord begin!
You're listening to Podcrapular Light.
Oh my God, I'm so excited, I wish I could wet my pants!
Podcrapular.
That comes with salad or soup.
Light.
I don't care how educational it is, let's do it!
Podcrapular Light.
Life is hilariously cruel.
Because Golf Widow and Andy had better things to do.
Get used to disappointment.
So you're stuck with Josh.
I happen to be a holding, stroking, loving machine. Also spank.
I've never really felt accepted at parties or nude beaches.
That young man fills me with some other emotions that are weird and deeply confusing me.
Podcrapular Light.
Listen, this is gonna be one hell of a bowel movement.
Hello, it's Josh, and welcome to another Podcrapular Light. It's been about a month since I've sat down here in the basement and recorded some shows for you. Been kind of an eventful month for me since the last time we spoke. More or less, I believe that I've managed to misplace about 9 pounds. Always good news. My new phone finally came. I'm very happy about that because the old one was sort of falling apart and I really needed a new one. I have written a new short story called My Pillow, which I will read you an excerpt of in a future Podcrapular Light, or possibly full Podcrapular. It could be that, you know, maybe I get on the full show for a little while. Who knows? And I've also been working on a longer story. I got about 30,000 words of it now out of what will end up being over 100,000, called Shell Game. And I'll explain that in a future Podcrapular Light as well, because it's going to take a little getting into. Oh, and my daughter has decided she now knows how to color, but she would rather take the crayons out of the box and put them back in the box. It took quite a bit for me to get her to draw a picture, more or less, in the way that 18-month-olds do, so that I could send it to her grandparents in Florida, who will be here at the end of the month anyway. So, that's what's been happening in my life. I was going to do a Podcrapular Light about the election, despite the fact that this is a very apolitical show, but something came up this morning being January 9th, I was listening to an episode of Soccer Girl Incorporated, a link to that if you care is on the Podcrapular website, and she was talking with her co-host slash boyfriend, Ryan P., about this thing called an art space, where artists can experiment and show off some of their experimental art to people without actually, you know, getting it sold professionally and appearing in museums. And she was saying, for example, if she were to go to the Guggenheim Museum in New York, I think it's in New York anyways, to go to the Guggenheim Museum in New York, she would see art that is no longer cutting edge because it's been bought, it's been moved around, it's been displayed, it's been marketed. And I was kind of thinking the same problem exists with writing. I have a short story that's out there being looked at by a horror anthology. I read you a little bit of it. It's called The Very Next Day. And if you miss that one, well, go back and listen, because I thought it was good. So if The Very Next Day is purchased by Horror Library, it'll be about a year till the book comes out. By that time, I'll have written a ton more stuff. You know, this time next year, I hope to have at least one book finished, at least three or four more short stories out there being looked at for possible purchase. Maybe I'll have even written a few songs. I'll have created an entirely new website at work, maybe even a new one at home. Have written something in the neighborhood of 20, 25 press releases. And then finally, something written in September, October 2007 will be published over a year later in January 2009. By then, my writing style will have changed, and I'll have already thought that because this story got bought, it didn't yet, but it may, I hope. Because this story got bought, people thought it was good, so I'm going to write more like it. And then I'm going to get feedback from people who've purchased the story and say, yes, it's good, but I didn't like this, or I didn't like it except for this one part, or I think you could have done this differently, so on and so forth. You know, a lot of that stuff can be solved by writing groups. I mean, I'm sure that Andy has gone to comedic workshops and worked with other comedians before, compared notes, that sort of thing. The same thing works for writers. You know, writers get together in groups and they discuss their writing. It's just the way that it is, except that where I live, I have no friends. I have one friend and she lives 45 minutes away, and she has a 4-month-old and is extremely busy, and I get that. But I have no friends who live anywhere near me. There's some people at work that I talk to, but they're not really friends. I've tried to make friends, but it's not easy, especially given that I'm in a small department and most of the time people come to me for work stuff. So I have nowhere really to workshop my writing. And the worst part is, it turns out that a lot of publications now consider posting writing on your blog as publishing. So if I were to have put the very next day on my blog, then it would have been considered published. And if a place said a story cannot be previously published, then I'm screwed. You know, I can't send it to them. What if it was a really great publication? What if they really wanted it? What if they read it, decided they wanted it, and said, has this appeared anywhere? And I said, no, just on my blog. If I were to lie and they were to find out, then, you know, that would probably be bad. So I wouldn't lie. I would say, yes, this was on my blog. And they would say, well, I'm sorry, we can't publish this because it's been published before. And that's really frustrating. People used to post their writing on blogs. I used to post my writing on my blog back when I had a real blog on my own domain name so that people could look at it and tell me what they thought. But now I'm more or less limited to emailing it around to my friends and hoping they get around to reading it in amongst everything else they have to do, and taking it to coffee shops and bread shops and sitting there and editing it myself. Occasionally showing some of it to my wife, which is a bad move because all she does is nitpick the little things like my choices in grammar versus the big things like story or plot. I can show it to my family, and none of my family members are ever going to say something I write is bad. Unless it honestly is a piece of absolute crap, they're not going to say, oh, I didn't really like it, it didn't, you know, they might say it's not my style. My grandma said, you know, she liked Robot Overlords, but it's not her style. She's not a sci-fi person. Which is fine. I mean, my dad liked it. He is a sci-fi person. My mom is kind of a sci-fi person. She watches Heroes. She watched Journeyman. And between me and my dad being such huge Star Trek and other sci-fi geeks, it's impossible for her not to like science fiction. But you got to show it to people who, you know, like you as a person, but are not afraid to critique you, which is why you need a writing group. And without a blog where you can post stuff and put it out on blog rolls and put it out on blog carnivals and people can comment and say, I liked it, I didn't like it, then where the hell are you? For all I know, the very next day is the worst horror story anyone's ever read. But how am I supposed to find that out? I have no friends, no outlet. I even hesitate to publish it in the place that I publish my erotica, because if I were to put it up there, then it would really be considered publishing, because that site is a site full of fiction. And like I said earlier, I am going to get around to explaining the whole thing about that website. But for now, you'll just have to take it on faith that there is a website somewhere out there that has a lot of erotica that I've written that is not my live journal. In any case, so it's really frustrating. The fact that if you want something to be published by the traditional publishing world, which is apparently the only way to get any sort of acclaim or street cred as being a writer, and with all respect to Golf Widow, who wrote a book and published it and promotes it and all that stuff, you know, that's great. And, you know, she's got it in her to promote her own book. I don't have that in me. I don't have the time or the energy or the connections or live in an area where promoting your own books works. I live in an extremely suburbanized area, too far away from anywhere that I could, you know, go and do whatever it is people do when they promote their books. So my goal is to get stories published in science fiction or fantasy or horror journals, and to get an actual book published by an actual book publisher, like, I don't know, Tor Books or HarperCollins or something, not HarperCollins. I don't know, one of those other book publishers. Tor is only the only one I can ever think of. Anyway. And then you'll get it sold in bookstores, which is every writer's dream. But without any friends, without anybody who can critique it, you know, writers like me who may or may not be good, I'm going to say I'm a good writer, which you may not agree with, which is fine. But for the sake of argument, writers like me who are good writers but don't have connections, don't live in the publishing mecca that is New York City, and aren't writing novels about how much life sucks living in New York City until they meet the girl or guy of their dreams and then dump him or her and then realize they screwed up. You kind of heard this plot before. They're just screwed. They're never going to get the kind of acclaim that they want. They're never going to get the kind of success in the writing world that they want. And the fact that posting on your blog is now considered publishing is just another way to make sure that the really cutting-edge stuff is only sent out to a limited audience, unless somehow it gets picked up by some website somewhere and becomes an internet sensation, which is great. but the odds of becoming an internet sensation are about as good as getting struck by lightning. Maybe slightly better. So, that's that rant. And, you know, it was a lot more coherent in my head, but anybody who's a writer or a musician or a filmmaker or an actor, I'm sure understands at least some of what I'm saying here and is probably at least somewhat in agreement with me. So go ahead to our website, which is golfwidow.podomatic.com. It's golfwidow.podomatic.com. And leave a comment. Tell me what you think. Tell us what you think of this episode. Tell me if you want me to talk about stuff that's a little bit less heavy. That's fine. I don't care. You can comment negatively or positively. You can also leave us an audio comment, 206-333-1338. That's 206-333-1338. Now, we all have websites, myself, Andy, and Golf Widow, and if you'd like to find out more about them, you just have to go to golfwidow.podomatic.com and scroll down on the right, and you can see my blog, his blog, his website, his book, and a couple of other interesting web pages. So until then, I leave you with my usual admonition that I am Josh and that you should know yourself. Don't accept your dog's admiration as evidence that you're wonderful. Oh, and Happy New Year, for what it's worth.